I think like meditation is like, it's like lifting weights for your brain. And I think when we think about it in that same like basic need care, especially as a mom, like the mental load of being a mother and the mental toll of being a mother, like if we aren't taking a little bit of time to care for ourselves mentally in that capacity, just like if we didn't, you know, feed ourselves or we stopped showering or whatever it is, like not only is it a complete detriment to our well-being and our health, but also it's a detriment ultimately to our children, because if we aren't caring for ourselves, it becomes really hard to care for others.
Hey guys, my name is Shayla. Welcome to the Hey Shayla podcast. I went from full-time travel to full-time new COVID mom, and now I'm a mom of two. And holy wow, is motherhood and adulting a learning curve? There are so many decisions we need to make and a million ways to do it right. I created this podcast to interview some of my gurus to share their knowledge and empower you on your journey. Let me be your guinea pig and ask the question you think everyone else knows. Here, we're a little hippie. We try to do things as naturally as possible. We're open-minded and we don't take ourselves too seriously. But above all, we support one another and work to find what works. If you're into it, you're our people. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to the Hey Shayla podcast. Today I have Kelly Smith, who's a globally celebrated yoga and meditation teacher. She is the founder of Yoga For You and host of the iTunes chart-topping podcast, Mindful in Minutes and Meditation Mama. These are always so awkward as I read them. Here we go. Kelly believes that there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to yoga and meditation and encourages her students to find their own personal practice, listen to their bodies, and find the inner joy by accessing their most authentic selves and owning their power. Kelly specializes in the non-physical limbs of yoga and is best known for her master trainings in meditation, restorative yoga, yoga nidra, and her international retreats. Love that. You can find her at Yoga For You Online or her website, yogaforyouonline.com. Okay, there's your blurb, but that doesn't tell much. it tells a lot, but I want to know... I always like to start the podcast with just tell me about you. Like, tell me what you do, how you got into this work. And I just want to learn more about you other than the things that I learned by stalking you to prepare for this.
I did hear from you that you gave me a good old stalk, which I love. I think that's so important. And I love that. So I'll be curious. I'll tell you about me. And then I want you to tell me what you learned about me, because I'm curious what you found.
Deal.
Okay. So I'll start at the beginning. So the way that I got into this, I actually started practicing yoga when I was like young, like before I could drive, as a form of like cross training for my sports. And I was very into like the physical. I was like, I'm here for the good stretch. And then I would like skip Shavasana because I was like, oh, what a waste, and like walk out the door. And then like my mom would pick me up from yoga class. And it wasn't then until when I was 16 and my mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer that I was really introduced to like the softer side of yoga. So visualization, meditation, you know, yoga wasn't about like the big stretch anymore. It was about these kind of softer, these modalities that you could use as kind of a life raft mentally and emotionally during some of the hardest days of your life. Mm-hmm. And this particular story has a happy ending because my mom's in remission now. Now she's Grammy and, you know, comes over and helps me out so much. So it has a happy ending. But it was during that time that I was really introduced to like the softer side of yoga, the side that we don't often look at, right? We see yoga and we think like these big bendy things, these big flashy poses. So then I still kind of went and checked all the boxes and went to college and found a man in college, eventually like married that man and started working like in business or whatever, you know, got like a quote real job. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, when I graduated, I did a yoga teacher training, as many people do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't have any plans. I don't know what to do. I'll become a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
And why not? And so I did that right after I graduated and, but then still got my first quote real job. And then my husband got into medical school. And so he moved me to a like one bar, one Walmart town. Mm. There were actually 3 bars because they had their priorities, right? 3 bars, 1 Walmart. It was very small. And I had to leave my job. I had to leave my friends. I was leaving my family and all of that. And he was going to school. And all of a sudden I was just like in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. And I didn't know what to unemployed by yourself. Nothing to do. Yeah. And I was like, well, I had a pity party for like a couple of days. And I was like, well, maybe I can, you know, try to make yoga a thing. I've always dreamt of doing it, but I've had this like fear of like, what will people think? But I have no job. I have nothing to do. Like, why not start a business?
Yeah.
So I started just like teaching classes around town at my husband's medical school. And one thing led to another. And then eventually in our time there, I ended up opening a yoga studio. And that was the first like yoga for you.
Wow.
And it was such, I mean, I have such fond memories of that time and like my students there and that process. And we knew we were only going to be there temporarily. So at a different point in my husband's schooling, we then moved to Michigan this time. And so I, you know, sold my studio and we knew we were only going to be in Michigan for maybe a year and a half. So I didn't want to start over. And that's when I kind of created the current iteration of Yoga for You, which is completely location independent. So I haven't had a physical location since 2017.
Okay.
And so I started doing like continued ed trainings. I started traveling and like doing pop-ups. I started my podcast as a way to share my guided meditations with my students back in Missouri. And I started just, you know, working from home and going on location places instead of just working in a studio. And one thing just kind of led to another. And I continued to really fall in love with like meditation and restorative yoga and this thing called yoga nidra. Like, how can I help people get these tools so they can take a journey inward to kind of connect with something deeper within themselves? Mm. And that just really spoke to me and I loved it. And I kept fostering that. And that's kind of led us here.
Yeah.
And then we moved back to Minnesota and I was here for a little bit. And then it was March of 2020 and I found out I was pregnant and then it was a pandemic. And, you know, the last 2 years have been a little bit of a blur and
yeah.
And now I'm still doing the same thing, but now I'm a mom doing it.
Totally. So the podcast that you started was just for meditation. It wasn't a yoga class.
No, it was just guided meditation. So that was Mindful in Minutes, which I told you before we started recording, is my baby before babies. And it started just, I would like, it was really hard 5 years ago when I started it to find like a good, free, easy press play, like audio medium to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just like record, I'd sit in my spare bedroom and record these meditations, like what I would share maybe at the end of a yoga class or with my students, and just put it up on this podcast so that my students back in Missouri could listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of started to snowball from there because I realized there's so many people who are interested in meditation or, you know, want to learn how to do it, or they don't know where to start. And being able to just find something that's free and easily accessible, you don't even need to log in. You can just like press play, for so many people is really desirable and like just what they need for a meditation practice.
Totally. That's what I was just thinking. Like anybody that's starting is like, I tried sitting for 5 minutes and I was thinking a lot of things and you're like, yeah, I'm so annoying. Yeah. But your podcast gets like 100,000 downloads a week, right?
It's, you know, it is so much bigger than I ever thought it would be. I remember
that's incredible.
I had this dream. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I remember I had this goal. I was like, what if 1,000 people listened to this podcast? Like when it was first starting and yeah. It just was this little thing. I was like, that would be so amazing. Like 1,000 people I didn't even know were listening to these meditations. Like that would be so cool. And kind of the blessing in disguise is March, you know, 2020 when I found out I was pregnant, and COVID, the podcast really took off then. And it was such a blessing in disguise because in that moment I was doing a lot of traveling, a lot of retreats, a lot of continued ed trainings all over and like all over the globe. And, you know, flights were grounded. We were in mm-hmm. lockdown. Like I, you know, went from like feeling like I was at the top of my business game to really having nothing. And we were still single income because my husband was in school and I was like, I literally, like, I have nothing. Like my business just disappeared mm-hmm. in like a blink of an eye. And here I am pregnant and we're single income. We don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden it's like all of these people who were experiencing the same level of fear and anxiety that I was
totally.
Started just going online, looking for tools to help them manage what they were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And the podcast that I've been growing for 2 years, all of a sudden it was like, boom, because there were so many people that were looking for what it was that I was creating.
Absolutely.
It was amazing. And it was a thing that like saved me in that time.
Yeah. And I think I believe that when people start, like entrepreneurs, whenever they start something, if they're starting it solely from service, those are the ones that succeed, because you're not attached to the outcome. You're attached to the outcome of somebody feeling what you're putting out there. You're not attached to how many downloads you got, how much you can make from it, what, how you can grow this. Like, you don't even know the possibilities when you started it. You were just like, I don't know, my students still kind of want meditation, so I want to make sure I can give that to them, even though I'm not there and for free. And that's what I want. And like, I think when you lead from that, it's just, I don't know. I just think that that's a really good way to start and to grow something.
I appreciate that. I think for me, this is just my opinion, but I think kind of what you're touching on is like, people can tell, like you can tell what someone's motives are. Like you can, mm-hmm. you can tell when it's just like some random woman sitting in a closet in Michigan making these meditations because she loves them. Yeah. And she just, and like, so every time I like hit publish before I release a meditation is I just set the intention. I'm like, may this reach the people that need it. Mm-hmm. And I think that people stumble across something like that. And even if they're just like, I don't know, it's like this woo woo, you know, lady, but like earnestly just like making these meditations for anxiety, like for anxious people.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, I think you can tell kind of someone's like intentions, like if totally. Their heart's in it or if their heart isn't in it.
And that's interesting because I have recently been like a pretty big rut where I'm just like, like, what do I want to do? And so even some of the YouTube videos I've been putting out, I'm like, I don't know, I'll talk about elimination communication again. And guess what? That video kind of flopped. And I'm like, I believe it. And for me, the flop videos are more beneficial to my learning than the ones that do really well, because I'm like, why did this flop? And I'm like going into this whole epiphany that I've been having this past few days of like, I can make an elimination communication video or a cloth diapering video or whatever kind of video with the intention of like, I just need to put a video out. Or man, it's so hard to figure out how to cloth diaper, and like to have somebody that can just like give you this information. That's why I'm making this video, to like give you there's such a different intention behind it. And like, it's received that way as well. And so that's my own process that's been happening the past like 2 weeks of just like, I want to create stuff that I am feeling instead of just checking the boxes essentially. And I think businesses will go through that ebb and flow, but just kind of like being aware of that and being like, oh, okay, I need to get back in this flow.
Yeah. And I think that's such like, I love hearing about that, and I appreciate you sharing it with me. Cause I think that I think that's the way that you kind of avoid or beat burnout is, you know, you have to, if it just feels like you're checking another box, like the reason we got into working for ourselves and being like entrepreneurs and being creators is because, well, I can't say this is everyone's reason, but like people who do that don't desire to like work for other people and like punch in, punch out. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have like these dreams and we like creating and, you know, we like to do it. We have this vision. And I think that, you know, when you make it feel like you're kind of almost working for your business instead mm-hmm. of letting your business like work for you, mm-hmm. it can really feel that way. And it's like a one-way ticket to burnout. Totally. But I also think as a creator, like I feel a lot of what you're saying, because there'll be ebbs and flows, creativity and ideas. It's not like this, it's not like turning on a hose where you can just turn it on. And then it's like, oh, all this, you know, water is coming out. And then when you're done, you'll just turn it off. Right. It's, you know, sometimes there's dry spells and sometimes there's an abundance, and that's all kind of a natural part of the process, I think.
Totally. And I think where you are in life too, like I've got a barnacle baby who literally to get this hour to talk to you is just sacred time. And so to have this space to think of what I want to talk about, I need that space. And so I don't know, it's a tangent, but it's definitely something that's been like heavy on me lately. They're great.
I have to go to a co-working space, because if I am in the house, he knows nothing is happening. He's just walking around and he's like, mommy, mommy, yeah. mama,
where,
mama
are you?
Where are you? It's
yes.
like,
yeah,
I get it.
So this podcast is mostly mothers. So let's kind of, I was excited to talk to you because personally, I also got my yoga teacher training, and so I am a certified
yoga. At a time where you didn't know what to do with your life?
Oh, yeah, after college.
Yeah? Oh, my gosh. Are we soul sisters?
Yes. Oh, definitely. And I've led a few yoga retreats, one in Costa Rica, one in Nicaragua. Yeah. So when I was reading you about you, I was like, okay, this is very cool. I like where this is going. But meditation is something that like used to be familiar and like not easy, but I could kind of get into that flow pretty quickly. And I want to get there again, but it's more challenging when you have little ones running around or when you don't have, when this hour is a sacred time and you don't want to ask your partner for like, hey, can I have like, I don't know, 10 minutes to go meditate? Like what? So I want to know if you have any recommendations for two types of people. The person who's like, what, meditating? I don't know. I've heard it's good for me. Maybe I should try it. How do I get started? And the other person who's like, oh, I remember that. I would love to do that again. Do you have any tips as a mom, like how to fit that in or how to get it, what to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate so much to that, especially it's like when you become a mom and there's so many things like your well-being and your care that just like falls down to the bottom of the priority list.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, you know, when you were saying like, oh, I don't want to ask my partner for like these 10 minutes to like meditate. I think we kind of discount it as like this kind of silly thing. Right. But do you ever ask your partner to like, you know, hang out with your barnacle baby when like you want to work out or like do something good for your body? Or I don't know, or like, I don't know if you're a therapy person or like,
go
to therapy or whatever.
Or like shower.
Yeah. Or like take a shower. Like all of these are basic needs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like what, feed yourself, dress yourself, you know,
right.
The things that are also very hard to do sometimes. But I think like meditation is like, it's like lifting weights for your brain. And I think when we think about it in that same, like basic need care, especially as a mom, like the mental load of being a mother and the mental toll of being a mother, like if we aren't taking a little bit of time to care for ourselves mentally in that capacity, just like if we didn't, you know, feed ourselves or we stopped showering or whatever it is, like not only is it a complete detriment to our well-being and our health, but also it's a detriment ultimately to our children, because if we aren't caring for ourselves, it becomes really hard to care for others. So the first thing is kind of reframing that, that need to care for the mind in that way and knowing that, you know, studies tell us 10 minutes is enough. So that's definitely one, is reframing, like, how are we thinking about it? Why aren't we doing it? And that's not to shame anyone, because I do this too. I usually fall into the trap of like, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm so busy being a meditation teacher and running a meditation business that I'm like, oh, I'm too busy to meditate, which like is so, the irony is not lost on me with that, but that's the trap I fall in. It's like, I'm so busy. I'm a mom. I'm a business owner. I'm a teacher. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
So I think just reframing, like, why are we letting it fall low on the priority list compared to the other things that we let go higher on that list? And it's a very small time commitment and ask. So if you are struggling, if you're like me and you're like, well, where do I find the time? I always recommend first 10 minutes of the day or last 10 minutes of the day, especially once you become a mom. So that's going to be like before your children wake up, or like once you finally finish the bedtime like chaos and you're like, whoo, you know, then everyone's in their rooms, doors are closed, house is quiet. Take those 10 minutes to unwind before you go to bed or make it a part of your bedtime routine. You're way more likely to stick with it that way, as opposed to just being like, sometime today I'll, you know, find some time
totally
to meditate, or doing 10 less minutes of something that is not serving you. For me, that looks like mindlessly scrolling on whatever, instead of like, you know, I could scroll for 45 minutes. So maybe I scroll for 30 minutes and then I meditate for 15. Mm-hmm. So kind of being honest with myself of like, where do I have these, you know, habits or these things that I'm doing that really don't serve me? I'll just do 10 less minutes of that. And swap it.
Okay, we're going to take a brief break to talk about Expecting and Empowered. If you follow me anywhere, you know that I love Expecting and Empowered. It's a pregnancy and postpartum workout. It's a week by week guide for what is safe and what you should be doing to prepare for labor and then repair from labor. It's pelvic floor, it's exercises, it's core, it's stretching, it's mindless. So if you're like, well, I kind of feel like I should stay in shape. If you don't work out or you do work out, this is such a good guide for this time of your life, just to know what is good to do. I have a code, Hey Shayla. If you go to heyshayla.com/expectingandempoweredpod, that will get you there. If my codes ever don't work, you can always just go to heyshayla.com/codes. Let's get back to the show.
And then also remembering that when we care for our minds, when we care for ourselves, we're ultimately, that is an extension of caring for our children, and that a well-cared-for mother makes for a well-cared-for child.
And what would you I mean, your podcast is a great place to start for somebody that's never meditated. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're just starting with meditation, I think again, that first 10 or last 10 is so helpful. I think kind of calling yourself out on your own, like BS of like, ask yourself, like, why haven't I tried meditation yet? And just being honest, like, is it because I don't know how? Is it because I'm not sure I really want to do that? Is it because I think maybe it's against like my religious practices? Is it because I don't, you know, I want to listen to a guide, but I don't know where to start? Like, ask yourself, what stopped me? Mm-hmm. And then the main reason that I started Mindful in Minutes and like the backbone of that podcast is creating just these press and play practices, because there's so many people that are like, well, I couldn't just sit down and like turn off my mind or just sit there and do nothing for 10 minutes. And meditation could look like that, where you're just kind of sitting and being. That can be an option, but many times it's not that. It's single pointed concentration. So I describe it as your mind is a light bulb. And when we're, you know, walking around every day, having this conversation, the light bulb just on, light is shining in all directions. When we meditate, we turn the light bulb into a laser pointer and focus it on one thing. Mm. That point of concentration can be the words of a guide that you're listening to. And for many people, if you're just starting or you're easing back into it, having something that is press and play, whether it's my podcast or it's Headspace or it's going to YouTube, right? Having a guide that will just walk you through the practice can be such a simple and powerful way to build that little micro habit into your day.
When you say pointed to, can you meditate on a question or a problem?
Yes and no. A lot of my answers to meditation questions are yes and no.
Okay.
Because it depends. And also a lot of it has to, it boils down to like intention. You absolutely can set the intention of like maybe connecting to your highest self for guidance, right? That's a very, you're like, you know, I want to, a lot of what I do on my other podcast, Meditation Mama, for prenatal, postnatal, is you might like sit and be with baby and kind of check in during, you know, that pregnancy time. And you might kind of ask the question of like, how are you doing, baby? Or, you know, how's it going in there?
Yeah.
And the point of that is to kind of do like, we call it like open monitoring, but it's like, you're asking and then you're just sitting and being, and like, maybe something comes or maybe something doesn't come. Where we run into trouble is when we then let that question turn into this, you know, what about this? And then, oh, I need to remember to do this. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, am I doing this the wrong way? Like when we let it then just become another thing that's distracting us, then it's probably not a good point of concentration. But there is definitely types of practices where you can pose a question for maybe your highest self, or if you're pregnant, for your baby, or, you know, to your heart. You can even ask your body, what do I need today? And then you just try to sit and be and see what comes up.
Okay. I like that. And I like the advice of the 10 minutes before or after. I think just from my own experience, I agree with that. Like 10 minutes seems like such a long time. So if you can have a guide that like gives you a couple things to focus on, gives you a little bit of downtime, and then like checks back in sometimes when they give you like that free time. And then they're like, all right. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about so many other things during that whole time. And I was not. So you have them kind of like check back in like, okay, now let's get regroup and like pull the monkeys away or whatever. And like, it's, I think that that can be a really, really helpful thing. I use Headspace, and like Seth sometimes now will be like, do you need to go meditate? And I'm like, yes, I'll be right back. And then I come upstairs and I just like sit for 10 minutes and then I come down just like an angel. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm human. That was amazing. So like, for you, a lot of the like self-care stuff that happens with moms, I'm like, okay, yeah. I know. We need to take care of ourselves. But like for me, and some people it's working out, and some people it's like doing a lap around the neighborhood, or some it's like everyone has to find their own form of like meditation to like ground themselves and to like re-regulate. The meditation is so crucial for me, where so I'll even say like, hey, can I just go meditate for 10 minutes? I'll be right. And having that outlet and having a partner that understands that, or the before and after, is so genius, because I think having a concrete, like, I'm going to do this today. Like, I need to work out. At what point today am I going to work out? Okay, I'm going to do it at noon. Way more likely to do it than if I'm just like, oh yeah, today I'm going to work out. I need to do that. That's
something. at some point today, at least for me, that means it's not going to happen. A million things are going to pop up. And then before I know it, I'm like, oh, well, now it's bedtime. I can't do it now. Yes, I need to go prioritize my sleep. And I think that especially when you're really busy and you're managing like little people's schedules and like your schedule and all of that, it's like set an appointment with yourself. Like if you had a pediatrician appointment on a Tuesday at 10 a.m., you're going to be there. So if you have a meditation appointment with yourself on Monday at 6:45 a.m. and your kids usually wake up at 7, treat it with the same level of importance and like treat it like that thing that you wouldn't miss. Right. And I love the first 10 or last 10, and one is not better than the other. You kind of choose which one serves you the best. I love a first 10, especially before like work days where I need to really kind of like clear my mind, like get in a good head space, kind of wake everything up and get moving. But I love a last 10 for the days where I need to kind of turn the volume down on my mind and everything that's happened that day before I prepare for sleep. Cause I'm one of those people where I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it's like, I'm trying to, you know, solve all of my life's problems in the middle of the night. Cause my brain's like busy. And then, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my gosh, did I remember to put the clothes from from the washer to the dryer? They're just sitting there. It's like, you know, I have a tendency to do that. So for me, sometimes a last 10 is a really good way to like ease myself towards sleep and a better night's rest too.
Yeah. I love that. Are you somebody that thinks that or does or with, let me start over here. Are you somebody or do you recommend meditating around your children?
Yeah, I do. I actually feel so strongly about it. I've written a book about it.
Really?
Isn't out yet, but it's coming soon. So little teaser there. But yeah, I feel so strongly that the best way to introduce your children to meditation is like, just let them see you do it. You don't have to make them do it. You don't have to all of a sudden make it like a family thing. But if it works for you, it's just this really special thing that you can model for your children. Just like you model so many other types of care for your children, like having this mental care. And then usually they get curious and they're like, oh, what are you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm meditating. Especially like the really little ones. They're so inquisitive. They're so curious. And you can like start exploring this with them. You can introduce it to them. It can become a thing that maybe you guys do together. Maybe you have your meditation practice. And then before nap time or before bed, like you together have a few minutes of meditation. Like I think just like you would model healthy eating or self-care or moving your body or whatever it is for your children, I think modeling this like mental care for them is such a gift that you can give them, because where else are they really going to get it in our you know, society, you know, especially for you and I and, you know, good old Minnesota, like, you know, where are they getting that if not from you to learn the power of like introspection?
Totally. And I think that exactly what you're saying of doing it almost without an explanation is the best way to like eating healthy. You're just doing it. This is just what we do. And that's how they learn. Walk me through what that actually looks like for you to meditate in front of your child.
So what that looks like now, and I have a 2-year-old, he talks, but we don't have like, you know, full blown conversations.
Yeah.
But what that looks like for me is a lot of times having the techniques, like I'll say, okay, why don't we take a few deep breaths? Like it feels like we're really in our thoughts right now, or we're really in, I'm sure if people like they were a fly on the wall in my house and they'd be like, oh, there's a meditation teacher, like parenting your children. But I'm like, why don't we just take 3 deep breaths right now? Or I'll say, you know, in those really like frustrating moments where you feel like an Instapot that's like going to explode you know, kids can make you feel that way. I'll be like, mom's going to go take a minute to take a break, or, you know, mama's going to sit right here and I'm just going to take a few deep breaths. And if you need anything, like, let me know. And I'll still be like in his line of sight, but I'll just be like, you know, mommy is feeling this way, so I'm going to take a break. And sometimes I'll call it meditation, or sometimes I'll say I'm breathing, or like, you know, mommy's going to check in with her feelings right now.
And then how long do you do it?
Like a few seconds.
Okay.
Or I mean, you know, it's not like, it's more just like introducing this idea of like the mindful pause to your children and what that looks like and what that means. And then you can invite them to come do it with you. And a lot of times they'll come over, they'll sit in your lap. You'll be like, do you want to take a few minutes to take a deep breath? Or do you want to check in with your feelings? And it's just an open invitation. They can say yes or no, but if they say yes, and you're like, okay, tell me about it. What are you feeling? There's something we've been working on is, you know, naming emotions. Are we feeling frustrated? Are we actually angry? Are we feeling disappointed?
Yeah. Interesting. I like that. So, but are you doing a 10-minute meditation around your? No,
not right now at this age.
Okay.
When he gets older, I absolutely would. Like I would just, you know, and sometimes we'll talk about it, and just with the nature of my work too.
Right.
You know, we'll say, oh, mommy's going to work. She has to go, you know, she's going to go meditate with people. Yeah. And so like we talk about it. But right now at his age, I just do like more modeling. Modeling an open invitation to join or not join. And then as he gets older, I would love if he wanted to join, but I also like, I'll just meditate and do my thing and do like my care. And,
but that's what I'm saying is I feel like it's so important for him to even just see that, just see that that's an option for like regulating, and that you can be like, oh, okay, I need to take a minute and go meditate. Glenn Doyle's cheetah book. I don't remember what it's called.
Untamed?
Untamed. Okay. Yeah. She talked about how
Cheetah book. She talked about
how she didn't go to I'm going to probably mess this up, but the premise is she turned down an opportunity, I think, to go to one of her kids' functions because she just needed like downtime. And she's like, I felt terrible about this because I was letting my child down because I needed this time to do it. And she's like, but guess what happened? A couple days later, they were like, I didn't know that we didn't have to do everything that we're supposed to do, that we could like go take time on our own. Can I go do that right now? And she's like, I gave them permission to say, I need a minute and I'm just going to go take that. And that's okay, by modeling it herself. And that was so powerful to me to just be like, taking care of yourself is teaching your kids that they can take care of themselves too. And so exactly what you're saying of just like, okay, we're just going to take a few deep breaths. I'm going to do this. I've been doing that with Aaliyah a little bit. We'll take deep breaths if she's having a really tough time or she's like crying hysterically and she can't get her thoughts out. Take a deep breath and she'll do it now. Just take a deep breath and then say whatever she's saying. Or like the other night I got angry and I yelled. I was like, Aaliyah. And she's like, what? And I was like, stop. And then of course your body gets hot and you just feel terrible for yelling and doing these things.
Instant regret.
She's crying and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, okay, it's okay that mommy's angry. That's okay. It's not okay that she yelled. And so she's like, it's okay, you were angry. I was like, yes, but it's not okay that I yelled. And she's like, you're not okay. I'm like, okay, cool. And so basically what you're saying is like, you're just trying to teach them that like feelings are okay. Emotions are okay. I'm going to show you by modeling. And hopefully I'm going to show you how to appropriately deal with those feelings or not, and tell you that that was not appropriate and that mommy shouldn't yell. So I like all of that. And I think, is that the premise of the book, is just to kind of like show?
So the premise of the book is actually, so it's called, well, the working title. Hopefully I'm allowed to say all this. If not, I'll email you and be like, you got to take this out.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's fine to talk about it at this point. It doesn't come out till September. Okay. But basically the idea, it's like the family's guide, you know, the modern family's guide to meditation. Cool. So it's like part podcast episode where I'll talk about like different topics. So like courage, fear, anxiety, insomnia, my own experiences with it, my experiences navigating that as a mother and with my child. Then it goes into three different practices, one for the caregiver, one for an adolescent, and one for the little ones, of how if you're working on that particular thing in your household, practices that are tailored for that like specific age group with that topic. And then there's mantras for each topic that you can use. And then there's a section on prenatal meditations for the growing family. And then also one for you and your partner if you're raising your child with someone else, to foster closeness and connection through meditation. And cool. So it's kind of, how do I take meditation and in these really simple, grounded ways, like how do I weave this into what we collectively are going through as a family, or how one of my children, like if they're going through something right now, if they're like nightmares is one of the chapters in the book, we're experiencing nightmares. which anyone can at any age, but there's different practices. Like you can open up that book. And if your four-year-old has nightmares, there's a simple guided meditation that you can just read out that helps them to kind of create this protective bubble for nightmares. So knowing, cool. you know, nothing bad can come in, and you can just open it up and be like, do, do, do. Or if you have like an adolescent or a teenager, they can open it up and they can read about it and do it on their own. But it's just like, how do we weave these things into a modern family and make yeah. it realistic, make it simple. And something that I feel really strongly about is not only just modeling this stuff, which is, you know, in the, like, how do you introduce meditation to, you know, to your children? And a big one is like, just start doing it yourself and they'll be curious. And then that mm-hmm. kind of opens the book. But I think just like when you were saying, when we do things for ourselves or anytime we do something, we're giving permission to the people around us to do the same. Mm-hmm. Now that can go both ways, right? If we yell, it kind of gives people permission of like, oh, this is like a yelling yes. household. If it makes you feel any better, like I'm a meditation teacher. I have yelled at my child before. It happens, right? Yeah. It happens. But when what we do, we give people around us the permission to do it too. Mm-hmm. But I like to think of it in that lens of like when we connect to who we are, or when we connect to like our heart space, like when you were talking about, it's Aaliyah, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so something in those moments that you could try doing is asking her, like, what is your heart feeling? I just call my son Pork Chop. I don't ever use like his real name in the yeah. book too. It's just like, and people will ask me and they're like, they're like, oh my God, they think like his birth name is like Pork Chop and he's going to go to kindergarten and be like Pork Chop, but it's just like, whatever.
No, I love that.
What we call him on the podcast and stuff. Yeah. But so with Pork Chop, what we'll do is we'll be like, but what does your heart feel? Can you tell me what your heart is feeling versus like, well, what is your body feeling mm-hmm. and connecting and then being like, well, you know, my heart is feeling this or like my heart feels kind of sad right now. And I found that one to be really simple. It's like kids get it when you just talk about like, but what is the heart feeling? Or like, oh, what is your body feeling? Mm-hmm. And they can kind of distinguish it and it helps to kind of build like that like emotional literacy in a way.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. And when you like have like when you say like my heart feels sad, it gives everyone around you the permission to be like, oh, my heart feels sad too. And like, that's okay. I don't have to hide that. I don't have right. to bury it. I can just be like, my heart's sad.
Yeah. Cool. I love that. It's essentially a guide for managing different situations in life using meditation.
Yeah. That's a great, I'll put that on the back cover.
Yeah. Right. Just write my name on there. Shayla.
Yeah.
Perfect. Are there different kinds of meditations?
There's so many different kinds, just like there's so many different styles of yoga, okay. so many different lineages. At its core, it's just that single pointed concentration, but then there's a bunch of different styles. I equate it a lot to like jeans where it's like, a great pair of jeans, like some people may, you know, like a good old skinny leg. Some people might like a boot cut. Some people are into a wide leg, you know, a high rise, a mid rise.
Yeah.
And when they're all jeans, but there's all these slightly different styles, okay. which is something like when I create these podcast episodes, I like to learn about a ton of different styles and then pull elements from all of them cool. to kind of put it together. But if anyone is listening is on their own personal meditation journey, like I think a great place to start is by trying a lot of different styles and different techniques and see what resonates with you, like what feels like a good place to start. And then you can do that. For a lot of people, like a loving kindness meditation is a really great place to start, which focuses on loving kindness and compassion.
We are going to take a brief break to talk about Clearly Filtered. Clearly Filtered is a water filtration system that goes under your sink. There's a pitcher. They have water bottles. They have kids' water bottles. I fill this pitcher up multiple times a day. I do it for my rice. I do it for the water I drink. I do it for coffee. I do it for the diffuser. All the things go through this filtration system. They have something on their website where you can type in your zip code and it will tell you all the things that are in your water. And that's enough right there to get you to buy one. If you are interested, I have a code, Hey Shayla, or you can go to heyshayla.com/clearlyfilteredpod. If any of my codes ever don't work, go to heyshayla.com/codes and it will give you the list of all the current codes. Let's get back to the show. I guess I'm wondering, how are they going to know what kind of meditation it is? You're just saying like the anxiety, loving kindness, sleep, no, like different. It's not like nidra. I don't know.
Yeah, right? I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's without getting like too far into the weeds of it. Because I mean, it is, you know, when people come and they, you know, there's a yoga class on the schedule, right? And they're like, well, is it a vinyasa or is it a Iyengar? Is it like an Ashtanga inspired flow? Is it a power yoga? Like, you know, it's yoga. And then your teacher probably has certain influences from a particular style or lineage.
Yeah,
I would say the big main styles or points of concentration in a way would be like your breath, some kind of like a mantra, loving kindness, visualization, or like a guided meditation. And those are really kind of the big ones.
Okay.
Like body, breath, your senses, your feelings, and like visualization.
Yeah.
But just try different stuff. You don't even need to know like necessarily what you're trying. Try different teachers, try different topics, like try different techniques, like pick up a book, read that book about meditation, try a couple of things in it, like keep using what resonates with you, release and regard what is like not necessarily for you.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation is such a deeply personal practice. You're taking a journey through the self to the self that it's like, only you can write the manual on how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're, yeah, I think instead of trying to be focused on like, okay, I'm going to try this one and this one, it's like, try one on YouTube, try one on podcast, try one on Headspace, try one on, okay, that makes sense.
Each teacher will be influenced by certain lineages or certain practices. And so you'll get something different with every teacher.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I asked on Instagram if anybody was curious about things. Someone said how to begin meditating for a very busy brain. And I think we kind of touched on that of just like finding something, a guided. I think guideds are so helpful in the beginning.
I think guided also, I would challenge that particular person. Like when you, and I hear this one all the time, my brain's too busy. And like, this is coming from someone that like has clinical ADHD. Like, I get it. I get it. But saying your brain is too busy to meditate is like saying I'm too dirty to take a shower. So if we are struggling with the busy brain and the intrusive thoughts, how are you going to remedy that? And without getting too like deep in it, but basically with meditation, what happens neurologically in your brain is that when you meditate, the part of the brain that's responsible for pain, worry, and fear, the amygdala, after about 8 weeks of daily meditation, it actually shrinks and you start having smaller physiological responses to stressors and neurological responses to stressors, where the prefrontal cortex, which is kind of like if you were to like, you know, do like a whatever face palm, like right behind the forehead, which is responsible for focus, concentration, and emotion regulation, that part actually gets bigger and denser and it gets more fold. So there's more room for neurological activity. So you're rewiring your brain even after 10 minutes for 8 weeks to have smaller pain, fear, worry, anxiety responses on both a physical and neurological level. And you are increasing your capacity to not only have greater emotion regulation, but also to have better focus and concentration. So it's like, if you have that busy brain, meditating is like the resistance bands that you use for your glute workout to strengthen, you know, your booty. Like meditation is that for your brain.
That just got so nerdy. And that's exactly what I love. I love that.
Always count on me to throw a little nerd in it. I just love it so good. Much.
And you were like flowing. You were not even tripping on words.
Oh, there's a chapter of it in the book.
Okay.
That I recently wrote. So it's fresh in the mind. Yes. Just wrote it.
But that's literally how it feels when you, like when I'm so overwhelmed and like I have exactly that, like laundry here and dishes here, and I have to, oh, what time do I have to pick up Aaliyah? Oh, I have to. Da, 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 da. It's like if you can just go sit and meditate for a second, it's crazy how all of that chaos just like settles. And you're like, oh, I do have laundry still, and I do have dishes, and I have to go pick up Aaliyah in 5 minutes. Like, okay. And it just
like
isn't like
walk. Yeah, I think of it as like when you walk like into a lake or like into the ocean and your feet are like kicking up all this sand and, you know, silt because of just the activity of your feet moving into the water. But then if you just stand there and you be, it'll all sink back down to the surface and the water is clear once again.
That's a great analogy.
Oh, I'm glad like you liked it. It's one of my favorites too.
Do you have like, do you have a resource for kids? Like at nighttime, I've thought about, oh, I wish I had a meditation for Aaliyah because she's like going all in. Not yet.
Not off the, so there's some, I'm looking into this. I don't have like one that I'm like, this is my favorite. This is the one that I love. What I will say is that there's a lot of, like, you know, the snoo, you know, the smart bag. Yeah. I don't, does your show have a visual? Cause people see me doing a little fish motion. That's like actually, the snoo.
Yeah.
But, they recently came out with like, I think it's supposed to be like a competitor to the Hatch, you know, the white noise machine, but it has some guided journeys on it of like breath. They sent me one and I was listening to it and it's kind of like, it's kind of an interesting thing where it's like, you literally can just like flip it to that setting. And it's like a short, like guide. There's a lot of things like that currently just starting to pop up where it's kind of like the equivalent of like a white noise machine, but they have like these short meditations. There's some podcasts too. I haven't personally listened to them, but like, this is something, especially as Pork Chop gets older,
right?
That's like on my peripheral, like he's not quite there yet. And so I'm only like slightly aware of it, but I don't have one yet that I'm like, oh, this is the one that I love.
Okay. So just,
but it's definitely out there. I see a lot of it. I haven't engaged in a lot of it yet.
Okay. Cause I think I want to get Aaliyah into that a bit.
Yes, because she's going to be three soon.
She sure is.
Which is like, that's a whole nother beast. And so much development happens between two and three. Like, she'll be ready for that sort of thing.
Yes, and I think she would be. I think she likes it. And it's so funny because right now she – I think this is a toddler thing where their brain is working way faster than their mouth can go. So then they just are a broken record for a second where they're like, I wanna. And I'm like listening and I'm there like, okay, you wanna what? You wanna what? And she, and sometimes she'll go, I can't think. Literally, those are the words she says. She'll go, I don't remember. And I'm like, it's okay. So now when she starts that like, I go, Aaliyah, take a deep breath. And she goes, and then it comes out clear as day. And I've started to see her do that on her own. And it like makes my parent heart just swell up in my chest, where she'll be like, I want to go outside. And I'm like,
that was beautiful. Let's do it.
What a great tool you're giving her for her toolbox.
It's so amazing. Cool. So sometimes we'll go to bed a little early and before, cause we co-sleep. So I'm like baby on one side, toddler on the other, mom in the middle.
Oh, gosh.
And I just let her sometimes just go in circles. She's like, no, mom, I want to sit up. My mom, and I'm just like, you're not tired. So what am I going to do? I can't like pin you down. You need to just burn off this energy for the next probably 30 minutes. But I'm like, I should get a meditation that you can just listen to and we could just all.
But you could lead it too. This is what you can try. That's very easy. It's a 4-7 breath. And it's been shown. So you like basically inhale for a count of four and exhale for seven. So like an easy count, right? Like she can do that in her head or out loud. And this particular breath. So the reason, get ready for a little more nerdery.
Yes.
But please. The reason that you yawn at night is because you actually start exhaling more than you inhale. And so it's a yawn is a forced inhale. So when you get tired, your body recognizes I'm basically doing too much exhaling. So it'll force an inhale. It can also happen if your diaphragm is compressed. So what we're doing with this 4-7 breath or exhale longer than the inhale is that we are basically mimicking your body and what happens when it's tired. So it starts to kind of flip on that I'm tired, I need to sleep yawning thing. Look at that precious baby.
Hi, you monkey. Give me those boogers. Sorry. So there's, you're saying as boogers. You start
always
as with my first, there wasn't because she was a COVID baby. So there was, was never sick. So now she's sick all the time because whatever, different thing. So you're saying as you start to power down for sleep, you're exhaling more than you're inhaling, which causes you to yawn.
Yeah. Because then your body is like, I'm too tired, or like, you know, I'm
not getting enough air.
It'll force an inhale. It needs more oxygen basically. And so it forces an inhale. When you go to sleep, hopefully you have kind of that, you know, natural balance, but like our natural inclination as we get tired is you just start exhaling a little bit more. So that's why you yawn when you're tired. Your body forces an inhale. So the 4-7 breath mimics that same thing. And it kind of tricks you into being like, oh, I'm so tired.
Ooh,
and it works really well. A lot of my sleep meditations start with an exhale longer than an inhale breath. It works really well. So you can just take Aaliyah and say, hey, let's inhale for a count of four and exhale for a count of seven. You just take those really long breaths out. And then you just do a really quick like visualization and just be like, imagine that you're laying out in the backyard under the stars and you just count the stars above you.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to try it.
You don't even need anything. You could do it yourself.
Yeah, right?
I have a yoga cert. You did that yoga. After college, when you didn't know what you wanted to do with your life, you did a 200-hour yoga teacher training. You can do this.
I'm so prepared to tell her to breathe in for four and out for seven.
You literally have a piece of paper that says you are qualified to do that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, I guess, is there anything else you would say for mamas that are want to dabble in it?
Just, you have to start somewhere. You just, like, don't second guess yourself. Don't overthink it. You just need to start somewhere. 10 minutes a day. Just,
5 minutes a day.
5 minutes a day. It's like, just, you just have to start. Anytime you're building a new micro habit, like, you have to start somewhere and just, you know, be nice to yourself, be kind, like, let it be fun, let it be exploratory, and just carve out these 5 to 10 minutes for yourself and just start.
And I feel like when I'm trying to start a new habit, afterwards, acknowledging how I feel different keeps me doing it. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, wow. Like, those 5 minutes just put me from 10 to like 3. And I feel like I can be calm and just take on the rest of the day.
Love that.
This baby. Okay. Amazing. Thank you so much for chatting with me. And I feel like we should meet in real life since we're both, you know, like, yeah. I don't know, 10 minutes away, 20 yeah, minutes
we're
away.
We're so close. We didn't know it. Yes. I love that idea. Amazing. Anytime, you just tell me and I'll be there.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share with somebody you think would love. And I would be so honored if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and rating below so I can know what you guys are digging, what you want more of, just connect with you a little better. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.